Speaker is Amy Bradshaw, and the title of her paper is The Relationship Between Mental Health Indicators and Drug Use in Women with Substance Use Disorders. Again, another really fine paper. Ms. Bradshaw is a research assistant with the Grants Research Planning and Evaluation Unit at the Richmond Behavioral Health Authority, and she's involved there in the agency's program evaluation efforts, in their research initiatives, and in grant writing and grant management activities. And she received her MSW with a concentration in macro social work policy, practice, and administration from Virginia Commonwealth University. So let's welcome Amy Bradshaw.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here today representing the Richmond Behavioral Health Authority, which you're going to hear me say RBHA a lot, and that's what I'm talking about. So what I'm going to be talking about are some very preliminary outcomes from a grant-funded program that we were able to provide in our community-based residential treatment setting for pregnant postpartum women diagnosed with a substance use disorder and women diagnosed with a substance use disorder and co-occurring serious mental illness. As part of what I'm going to share today, I'm just going to briefly introduce you to RBHA and then talk specifically about some of the indicators of community need in Richmond, as well as some relevant literature that directly influenced the development of the program, which is called BFIT. So I'm going to then go into an overview of the BFIT program, some of our goals, and some of the services that we were able to provide. And then I'm briefly going to talk about some of the program evaluation efforts that we made, as well as some of our initial outcomes. And for us as, you know, treatment providers, the main takeaway is always, how are we impacting what we're going to do every day? So I'm going to focus a little bit on that as well. So RBHA is a statutorily established local authority responsible for providing mental health, intellectual disabilities, substance abuse, emergency services, and prevention services in the city of Richmond, Virginia. And last year, we served approximately 5% of the Richmond City population, which is about 11,000 individuals across all of our areas. So we have a lot going on in any given day. Richmond City has some of the highest rates in the state for substance-exposed infants, as well as low birth weight rates, infant mortality, and children in foster care as a result of their parents' substance use, and this is typically the mother. So our low birth weight rate is one of the highest in all Virginia localities, and of that, about 75% are African American, and so this is reflected in the population of women that were participating in our BFIT program. In addition, Richmond receives high numbers of referrals for substance-exposed newborns, and there's a significant number of children living in poverty in Richmond, 35%, which is twice the statewide average of children living in poverty. So just briefly to touch on some of the studies we looked at and some of the information we pulled from when we were developing the BFIT program, we know that a woman's mental health status as well as substance use can impact and be impacted during her pregnancy and during the postpartum stage. Those can aggravate or diminish symptoms of mental illness because of hormonal changes, lactation, medications during pregnancy and delivery, the stressors of pregnancy, as well as adjustment to the newborn. So because we also see some new statistics showing that there's an increase in women who are using substances during their pregnancies. So outreach and engagement efforts are vitally important, as only 7.4% of pregnant women who need treatment for substance use disorders are actually getting treatment. And it's also very important to engage pregnant women in prenatal care and treatment services as early as possible to reduce the likelihood of negative outcomes both for the mother and for the child. So approximately one-third of the women entering our residential substance use disorders treatment program are pregnant, and many of those women bring children with them. We have seen in previous research that women who are allowed to bring children to treatment show a higher retention rates and are also more likely to maintain continuity of care once they leave residential treatment and recirculate through different treatment programs. So substance abuse treatment services that are tailored specifically to women must be sensitive to gender-specific factors that have not only contributed to substance use, but could also be positive contributors to a woman's recovery from substance use. So it's very important to address a woman's substance use as part of a broader context of their experience. Did I skip? skip something. Nope, I didn't. I just didn't press the button. Excuse me. So I want to talk for a minute about our BFIT program. So we were really fortunate to receive funding from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA, from October 2009 to September 2012 to offer these services to our target population, again, adult, pregnant, and postpartum women diagnosed with SUDs and with SUDs and co-occurring mental health disorders in their children. The BFIT project was housed within our Women's Services Unit, which is in our Substance Use Disorders Division at the RBHA. And as I had said before, our program development was informed by some of the previously discussed community needs and relevant research. So BFIT engaged multiple community partners in order to provide really intensive wraparound services for participants. And some of those that I wanted to mention were Rubicon Residential Treatment Center for Women and Children, Human Resources Incorporated, which is a methadone maintenance clinic, as well as Virginia Commonwealth University Health Systems, which helped provide medical services, prenatal care, as well as some developmental screenings and other things for children of the women participating. So these were the project goals for BFIT. Obviously, we wanted to increase the provision of pre- and postnatal care for our target population. We wanted to decrease the incidence of alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use for our target population through the provision of assertive outreach efforts and comprehensive treatment services. We also wanted to improve family outcomes by providing child and family services in the areas of enhanced residential treatment, comprehensive health care, and continuing care, and then to decrease involvement in and exposure to crime, trauma, and child abuse and neglect. So we strove to meet those goals by providing a whole host of different services, and you can see them listed here. We utilized several evidence-based practices, ALF, PALS, motivational interviewing, and cognitive behavioral therapy, as well as strengthening families and seeking safety. We did on-site intensive case management. We did comprehensive health assessments, art therapy, support groups, developmental assessments, and early intervention for children, life skills, parenting, and family functioning services. We also were able to, with our community partners, offer off-site medical interventions, off-site child psychiatry, psychopharmacology, psychiatric emergency hospitalizations. In addition to that, with the focus on the whole family, we provided social activities and support groups to really engage both women and their children. So just to give you a brief summary of what our BFIT participants represented, we had about 61 women who participated in the program. Of those, 85% reported primary and secondary drug use at intake. 40% reported that cocaine and heroin were their drugs of choice. And of our participants, 77% were diagnosed with a co-occurring mental health disorder. So you can see that was a broad number within our population. And of those, the most frequently occurring were bipolar at 28%, depression 25%, and anxiety at 11%. Just to give you a little bit more of an idea of the population of women that was coming to RBHA and participating in BFIT and some of the other challenges they were facing externally apart from substance use, the mean age of participants was 30 years. Over half were African American, with 34.9% identifying as white. 39.3% of participants completed high school or a GED. Most of our population did not complete high school, and approximately a quarter did not receive an education past the ninth grade. Almost 50% were unemployed and not looking for work at intake, and a little less than 40% reported being unemployed but were looking for work when they started with BFIT. And then most of the majority of participants reported that they did have housing when they joined us. And GIPRA is one of our evaluation tools, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. So 87% of women already had children when they entered BFIT, and 88% of women entered the BFIT program while pregnant. And we were pleased that all the pregnant participants did have positive birth outcomes, and this was defined by our grant requirements. And then below, just to give you an idea of the number of children that also were able to participate in BFIT, we had 95 children overall, and you can see the vast majority of those were between 0 and 3 years. So just to give you a general overview of what we did with our program evaluation, and this was a localized evaluation that we were really using just internally to sort of figure out what was successful and what worked and what we can do with some of the information that we were able to gather. We wanted to evaluate the effectiveness of BFIT in achieving its defined goals and objectives, as well as evaluate changes in client behavior and substance use over the course of treatment, as well as durability of change after treatment completion. We collected data from clients at intake, at 6 months post-intake, and at discharge, and we used two evaluation tools, the GIPRA and the BASIS 24, and then we also had some external evaluators conduct a focus group with 8 BFIT clients following their treatment participation. So the GIPRA is a mandatory tool that was developed by SAMHSA, and for anyone who receives funding from SAMHSA, it's required that we complete this. So we administered the GIPRA, we also administered the BASIS 24, and that's the self-report questionnaire designed to assess treatment outcomes by measuring symptoms and functional difficulties experienced by individuals seeking mental health services. And that was something we decided to administer locally to hopefully gain a little more information about our participants. And so just to give you an idea of some of the changes in the client's reported health rating at intake in 6 months, these were interesting to us because we did see some decreases in good and in excellent, which we thought could be explained by a couple things. One, these are women who are detoxing from substances, so there's a lot of things that maybe were masked that are coming to light. They're also moving through different stages of their pregnancy, and they're in an environment where they're maybe learning more about how to describe their health symptoms and what's going on. We did see an increase in the abstinence from substance use between intake and 6 months, and so this was good to see. We also saw a decrease in the frequency of substance use that was reported by clients at intake in 6 months. And these are both areas that we would really like to be able to assess at farther time points so we can see if that abstinence was able to be maintained. We also saw decreases in burden across all of the BASIS subscales. So this was good for us to see because they were statistically significant differences from intake to discharge. We also found significant positive correlations between self-reported days of depression or anxiety at intake with individuals' self-reported days of drug use. We didn't see any significant differences in BASIS scale scores at intake with relation to an individual's abstinence from drugs and alcohol. But we did see a significant difference in BASIS substance abuse scale score at discharge with individuals reporting drug use having a higher scale score than those that did not, which we were expecting. In addition, we did conduct the focus group to get a little bit of input back from the participants themselves. So the major themes are listed here, and there are a couple that I'd like to draw your attention to that we've really used to impact our treatment provision that were also kind of echoed by our BFIT staff in informal conversations. The first was the connection and access to BFIT staff. Participants felt their access to staff was sufficient and an integral part of their recovery process, and have really positive comments about the intensity of the time they were able to interact and spend with the BFIT staff. Another theme was parenting and changes to relationships with children. Clients shared that they felt their parenting skills as well as their desire to parent well improved because of BFIT. And the piece that we really found interesting was the desire to parent well. That really spoke to us about what women needed and how we could work with them with that. And in addition, women talked a lot about the post-treatment challenges once they left residential treatment and moved back into their communities, particularly with significant others and spouses, family members, and friends that were maybe still using. So we did have some challenges with our program evaluation. There were ongoing challenges to SAMHSA evaluation requirements, so the GIPRA was our only consistent tool throughout the life of the project. We did experience some difficulty contacting participants for follow-up and post-treatment follow-up. We also had a low-in and no-comparison group, so this is really an area that's going to inform kind of what we do internally. We would, however, like to go a little bit farther with some of the data that we have, just to dive a little deeper into just what was happening with BFIT. We also have been fortunate to receive some other funding from GIPRA for other populations that we serve, and so we'd like to be able to kind of pull that together and examine it across multiple programs and across site. We'd also like to look at differences in client demographics from BFIT as well as some other program areas, and then collect additional post-treatment data to assess some long-term program outcomes. And then just briefly want to touch on some of the impact on treatment approaches. This program really showed us how beneficial residential treatment can be for women, and particularly when women have their children with them. We had a lot of challenges with including significant others and just contacting, getting people engaged, but that piece really proved to be very helpful. In addition, we've been able to continue a lot of our social activities, which really give women the opportunity to spend time with their family in a positive environment and also learn from watching positive family interactions. We've also reestablished the need for increased post-treatment follow-up and planning to ensure continued abstinence from substance use and other positive outcomes, and heard really across the board that our intensive case management was the key to BFIT success, and women being able to work directly with a person and have that person available to them, both in interactions with children as well as individually. All right, so that is all. Thank you all so much.